Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com is the website you can go to 24 hours a day to get complete updated information and news in the area they cover. And we are joined by Marcy and David every Wednesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
That was quite a lineup of generosity you just recited.
So you know, and it's not just during the holidays. Whenever someone's in need, whether they're a nonprofit organization or an individual, he's just there. He's an amazing guy. And he's like, he turned the Sharon Inn, which was basically a dump, into a beautiful inn. He rejuvenated a car wash, which was closed, and he has his own restaurant. So the guy's always busy, but just an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, we have lots of people like that in our area, and whenever
yeah,
we find out...
Yeah, we do, too. It's
yeah.
Really,
we just like to publicize them and let people know that
right.
We, you know, there's just a lot of people around here that are just unbelievably generous and supportive. And we'll start off. I was just doing an editorial on this last week, talking to a shop owner on the air, saying that you see the commercials Amazon claiming that they house local small businesses. Yeah, they do. But do those small businesses give gift certificates, support your little league teams, your nonprofits in your area? No.
And they draw tourists to come downtown.
They don't do any of that. And the first thing you'll talk about is how to shop locally during the holiday season, because especially this year more than ever, it's just so important.
Yeah, it is. Well, we actually have had, I have a couple of things to say. One is that this article that we're referring to about shopping local is part of the Edge's magazine section. You know, before the pandemic, we published a really gorgeous print magazine, which is a seasonal guide of places to go and things to do in the Berkshires and beyond. But because of the pandemic, we haven't been able to publish a print magazine. So we've taken the magazine online, and a number of the articles we're going to be talking about this morning are actually articles from our BerkshiresCalendar.com magazine, which is now online. But we have had two articles about shopping local on our Business Monday article. This past Monday, we had an interview with a number of, it was right after American Express Small Business Saturday, and so we had a news article about what businesses were hoping for in this holiday season, and many local businesses really, and this season is going to be, it's not just whether or not they'll make money this year. It's really whether or not they'll be able to stay in business at all going into 2021 if they don't have a good holiday season in 2020. So it's crucial that you shop locally. And then in the magazine, we have this delightful article about giving some Berkshire's love when you for Christmas or for the holidays, and our author has made numbers of suggestions, like buy a nice mug from a local potter and fill it with either chocolates or coffee beans from a local chocolatier or a local roaster, or buy something at a museum shop and accompany it with a membership to a local museum. So, you know, she's talking about all kinds of ways that you can be imaginative. The Red Lion Inn is offering packages for stays at the inn in 2021, which you can give to friends to let them know how much you would like them to come and visit the Berkshires in the winter. It's really a charming article with pictures of terrific things that you can buy locally in the Berkshires, all over the Berkshires, into Hillsdale, into Connecticut. So, we really feel strongly, as I know you do, that I mean, we have wonderful shops here and really creative people and very interesting gifts. And, you know, as one of the, in our Business Monday section, one of the shopkeepers said, you know, tear yourself away from your computer and go to a local store where the owner will be really happy to see you, and you will find something really different, and you'll come away having had a very pleasant experience, and you'll get a great gift. How can you resist that?
Yeah, and it's even more focused this year, like we said, because of the pandemic. These stores lost so much money, and now they're open all following COVID-19 rules, which cost everybody money to follow those COVID-19 rules, so they can open up, and they stay strict there. So, and these are folks, your friends and neighbors, that are there for you all the time, not just in holidays. So it's an important thing to shop local.
When you shop on Amazon, Amazon doesn't care.
Yes, well, that's the whole thing.
But if you shop in a local store, the shopkeeper really cares and wants you to be there and will go out of his or her way to take care of you and please you. It's really important.
All right, we will go on to story number two, and that is the Great Barrington Select Board has parted ways with, I guess, the other board, which gave its approval and said no to the new hangars at the airport.
Right.
Oh yes, this is the neighbors of the airport had complained bitterly that they should not expand the airport and the amount of traffic going in and out of that airport, and the select board agreed at this point and back to the drawing board for the owners of the airport. But it's this has been going on for at least 4 years as the Berkshire Aviation, as they call it, wanted to add hangar space.
You know, and actually, it's not an expansion of the airport. It's an improvement of the facilities at the airport.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
It's that's right. It's an expansion of its facilities, right?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny.
Because if you go to airport now, you know, a lot of those planes are just tied down at the edge of the runway, you know, or along the runway. They don't have any... they don't have any place to put them inside.
And it's not going to increase air traffic because it's for the ones that are there simply. But anyways, we'll see what happens with it. I know the owners of the airport, and they'll deal with it, and they'll find some way to continue on and doing what they're doing and be an important resource for our area. They really are. So
right.
Well, it has been. Yeah. It's a historic airport, too. I mean, it's odd. It's been there for longer than some of the people. In fact, much longer than the people who have moved here and are complaining about being the proximity of the airport.
Yeah, that's one of the things that always gets us folks that have been around here for a long time. But times are what they are. But like I said, Rich Solon, they'll find ways. He'll just put his big boy pants back on, and they'll find a way to help the people that support them at the hospital. Now, the other part of the story, though, and that goes then, the Housatonic Waterworks System once again.
Oh, dear. Yes, here we go. The Housatonic Waterworks is a private water company owned by Jim Mercer's family, which has been having all kinds of trouble with it keeping up the maintenance of the system. It's leaky water. It has its pipes are rusting and are having people's water is brown with rust, and they need a kind of overhaul of the system. And so there, it's been a troubled series of hearings on what the Housatonic Water System, Waterworks can actually do to keep their customers safe, actually. So it's this has been an ongoing issue with the residents of the little village of Housatonic. I mean, the probably the real solution to this ultimately is for the town to absorb the system itself, so that it can be properly maintained.
Well, the funny thing about this is it's not only in Great Barrington, not only in Housatonic, here in Northwest Connecticut, the Falls Village Water Company was taken over by Aquarian. I do believe, other small water companies that just can't afford to operate with the regulations and all everything else. This is the only answer for these water systems, really, to stay open and viable.
Yeah, and you know what the town is now doing is doing what they call a phase two study of the system itself and its infrastructure, and we'll see what the results of that are and what the study actually recommends and what the likelihood of what it will cost actually to upgrade the system. You're right. Water. People may forget that water systems, which are now become traditionally have become public utilities, owned by the public, were once privately owned. And there are a few of them around, but remnants of that. Just as roads, by the way, once were privately owned too. They were called turnpikes.
Yeah, and there's one, like I said, over in Dutchess County, very close, called the Shunpike, which people can travel on a regular basis. But yeah, it's part of the infrastructure of small town America. And the smaller you are, and when you deal with things that have federal laws, state laws, not only local laws, the harder and harder it is to make enough money to have people actually be able to pay for the water. I mean, it's a terrible cycle that just goes on and on and on.
Well, there is the water system in Great Barrington that is public owned by the town, there is a fee for that.
Yes.
But the resources of the advantages, the resources of the town are more significant than a privately owned company. And,
also the population is bigger. I mean,
the population is bigger, right.
So that there's not a bigger bill for everybody because it would say there's 10,000 people as opposed to 5,000 people.
Yep.
It's one of those things that you like to see things stay under local control. So obviously we'll be following this story for several more months.
Well, the village of Housatonic is quite independent too. Right. So we'll see where this goes.
All right, I want to go on to your next story, and that is with all the national talk about police violence, Great Barrington Police Department is now also taking a look at their procedures.
That's right.
Right.
Go ahead, Marcy.
No, you go ahead, David.
Well, the Great Barrington Police Department has decided to look at its self-examination of its attitudes and procedures in order that it not adopt policies and that might lead to police violence, and the local police are it's like they're friends and neighbors people. So
yeah.
It's a different thing than in a urban police department, but still, the Great Barrington Police are, taking a look at this themselves too, in a way of sort of self-examination in this era of police departments being looked at for their attitudes towards minorities, and so a good, you know, I think it's a pretty, interesting step that the police department, Great Barrington Police Department, is taking, just to reassure people that it's, that it is a, you know, a progressive police department, actually. Unusual, I think, in this day and age.
Well, it's a throwback where you can't do everything you used to do in the old days, but you can be a policing force that interacts with the community and it does not just police the community. You also interact with the community. And I think that's the biggest edge that smaller communities have in control of these police departments.
And in
fairness,
well,
it's true. And, you know, the police chief, Bill Walsh, I have to say, is out on the, himself walking the beat on Main Street in Great Barrington. And he often is out there greeting people, shaking hands with people that he knows. It's a little different than, say, Chicago or Minneapolis.
but if you remember,
you know, it's more like Norman Rockwell would produce. Portray a police department.
Yeah.
Since you keep talking about how things were in the past, you know, that was the fundamental, that was the basis initially of policing, and that's why police originally went in, worked within their communities, because that's the way to find out what's going on, and you have to have you can have totally positive interactions.
You could, and they're crossing guards. For kids going to school, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, but also like here in Connecticut, there's towns, if they want, they can opt to have a town police, a state police officer. Resident state troopers. And they talk and they know residents in the community. Yes, are they called away on emergencies when they have to work elsewhere? Yes, but at least they get to know the beat of what's going on in the town that they're in. And that really helps policing a lot. So.
Yes, I think so too.
All right, I want to move on to your next story because I think it's pretty interesting. If you look around our area, and especially, really, there's certain areas of Northwest Connecticut, but in South County, Massachusetts, you've got historical tours of Berkshire Mills and factory buildings.
Yes, and this is another story from our magazine section. So it's, but this is, I mean, we have a writer named Conrad Hansen, who is an architectural historian who has written us, he's writing regular articles for us in the magazine section. And this one is really interesting. And we notice also that it is being forwarded. It's going crazy on Facebook. People are really finding this interesting. So we're delighted. But we are talking about what they call adaptive reuse of old mill buildings. Now, we all know Mass MoCA. Which is probably the best-known adaptive reuse of an old mill or factory building. But Conrad, in this article, is first of all talking about some of the characteristics that all of these mills share in terms of how they were constructed. For example, before there were elevators, they had to lift everything up by a hoist. And so on every floor of these buildings, there is an old, great big door that you could open to take goods into the building. And various window treatments. Anyway, it's a very interesting article just about architectural history. But then he talks about three different projects that have reused old mill and factory buildings for three different purposes. So the first one he's talking about is Cable Mills in Williamstown, which has been turned into a residential complex. There are apartments and rental apartments built into the old factory loft buildings. And then there has also been a number of freestanding condos that have been built along a river walk. And so it's really a very attractive development and with a great deal of charm because it's saving these wonderful old buildings. The next one he's talking about Annie Selke bought the Russell Mills in in Pittsfield, which was, again, a... and she's turned that into her headquarters for her... She has a number of businesses. And the pictures of the inside are really beautiful because, you know, she has two or three companies. She has a rug company and a home furnishings company, all, you know, wonderful fabric things. And so they have remodeled this wonderful old mill into a beautiful workspace. And the pictures really show what a great job they've done. And then finally, there's the old stone mill in Adams, which has now been turned into the Old Stone Mill Center for Arts and Creative Engineering. And there's a couple who have bought this who have turned it into a space for all kinds of really interesting projects. It's a couple named Lenny Fried and Mike Augsburger, who are both artists. She's an artist. He's passionate about reclaiming old bicycles, and the two of them are passionate about trying to reduce the amount of waste. So they have a big recycling project, not only recycling cycles, but they take in old sheets and towels from hotels, and they adapt the fabric for other uses. And there are a number of things going on there. They're exploring different types of heating concepts that will allow for them to use the historic mill building during the winter while minimizing reliance on fossil fuels. And there they're partnering with the AgriLab, which is a clean energy organization. So these are three very different uses of these old buildings. The buildings are gorgeous, and the adaptation of them is really stunning.
All right, well, we're out of time. We had two more stories we were going to talk about, but all these stories, we only touched about on a fraction of the stories here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So, no, it's okay.
Take a look at the magazine online. There are a couple more stories that I think you'll find very interesting.
All right, guys, we will speak to you next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye. That is the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com.